This is Mother's Day, and I wanted you to hear from two of our moms. I've been here about 12 years, and when I first got here, we had a variety of prayer meetings, and you learn a lot about a person when you pray with them more than once. Both Yolanda Castro and Don Davis were in some of those prayer meetings, and I learned to trust them. And so, because that relationship has been that long and that rich, I thought it would be important for you to hear from them. There's another reason why I wanted them to speak. We have a lot of families in our church with young children now. And what are you going to do with this treasure that you have, these little ones? And I wanted you to hear from two moms that... from my perspective, have done a pretty good job of it. Don's going to speak first, and then Yolanda will share with us. Don Davis and Yolanda Castro. Bless you.
So before I begin and fall off the stage, first I want to acknowledge all the moms out there. I especially want to acknowledge my mom. She came from Simi Valley to visit and to be here. I can honestly say I would not be the mom I am today if it wasn't for my mom. I know she finds joy in that, and I know she also finds sorrow because I have brothers who aren't believers. So she has both the celebration and the pain all wrapped up in one. So I want to acknowledge that there are people out there in the audience that have both. We celebrate the fun parts. Hey! we celebrate the fun parts of our children, and we also mourn the pain of our children. And so I want to acknowledge that before. I also want to acknowledge that not everybody in this audience is a parent. Dale had it in his heart to ask Ron, Yolanda, and I to come up here and to speak. And we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work through us and that each one of you guys, regardless of your parents, are going to walk away with something, to treasure something, to, you know, a nugget that you'll get. That's always the hope every week, right? So, all right. So let me start out by saying I am quite proud of my girls. They have turned out quite well so far. But I also have to say, you can't give me the credit. You also can't blame me if in somewhere in the future they mess up and decide to go another way. You give God the credit. This is my mom's words. I have to give her credit for these words. But she will give God credit for those words too. So we'll just keep on going straight back to God, okay? All right. I give God the credit because God is the one that leads and God is the one that guides. I also have to give God the blame. God gave each one of us free will. And when it comes to my personal free will and the free will that he gave me, I love God that he gave me free will. And I love God even more because I have that free will. When it comes to my girls, I hate free will. Why did you not make us robots? Why did you not make it so that I can just put you straight in the right path and you'll go everywhere you want and I can just lead you down there? And just like when they're 2 years old and they start running into the street, I can grab them and pull them back. I'd love that. So when I've always wanted to be a mom. And when I got married and it was time that I got to have kids, I was very excited about having kids. When I was excited about having kids, I also was very, very nervous about them becoming teenagers. I was seriously considering about the time that they would be teenagers that I could figure out some way to ship them off so that somebody else could deal with them in those teenage years. I don't know. I don't do well with teenagers. I'm really good with the little kids. But when they get older, they're a foreign substance to me. So I did not know what I was going to do. I have learned to enjoy my teenage daughters. I have learned to enjoy the decisions that they make and get to go with them through this journey. Because of the fact that it was the desire of mine for them to follow Christ, and the fear that I had with them not following Christ, I made it my mission in life. Not really, but for them to choose for themselves one day whom they would serve and that they would serve the Lord. So my desire is for my children to know God. I acknowledge that I cannot do this myself. It is only from the choices my girls make, from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that this is achieved. My role is to set them on the right path. My goal is to do this to the best of my own ability. For me, I see three things. The first thing I see is that you create a community around them that points them towards God. The second is you give them opportunities to know and experience God. And then the third thing is that you try to be the example yourself of what it looks like to be an actively believing Christian. Foothill Community Church and the community that is established around here has become the building blocks for my children's faith. Rob and I have served in this church. Our children have served alongside us. They have seen examples of what it means to be a Christian and how Christianity is lived out. They have formed relationships with the oldest members of the church down to the youngest members of the church. They know what it looks like to be a Christian from all ages and from all different personality types, not just mine. We came to Foothill over 20 years ago. We came because we had friends here. We stayed because it became our home. There's been good times. There's been times that I absolutely love being at Foothill Community Church, and there have been rough times. There's been times where I have wanted to leave. Each time that I get to those wrestling decisions, I come back to home. I come back to the commitment I made to this church. I feel like one of the reasons my children are who they are is because we stayed. I've shown the girls, or we have shown the girls, that when you're frustrated with the way things are, you try to figure out ways to fix them. You don't just leave and try and find another place. When the problems are too big for you to fix, or not under your ability to fix, you figure out how to live the best you can in the situation that you're given. One of the difficult times, one of the struggles I had, was when my girls were approaching the youth age, because there was no group for them. Who was going to mentor them and help them wrestle with those big decisions about faith? Who is going to keep their faith intact or on the right path if it wasn't a youth group? The lack of a youth group frightened me, and I wanted to leave and find a church that would have a program I was looking for. But after praying and having many, many discussions with Rob, a few with the girls, I found my reason to stay. And it is the community that we have here. God has led us each step of the way. I have to add that one of the things that God did in that guidance during those wrestling years was he laid it on Brianna Castro's heart to form a small group that my girls get to do all of those things with Brianna and the girls that are in that group. God always meets our needs. He does not meet our wants. He meets our needs. He did not create us in isolation from each other. He designed us to be in community. When we experience that Christian community, God, the Christian community that God has designed, we will never want to give it up. I have experienced that community, and my girls were raised in it. When my girls were young, Sarah's in the nursery. She's literally the only girl in the nursery. again, here I am saying, okay, no other moms to hang out with that have anybody that's my daughter's age. What am I going to do? Brian Cooper shows up and says to Rob and I, we're starting this small group. We want you to be a part of it. It's called AD. I don't know what AD is. Actually, I do, but let's not go through that one. I know a lot of people will, over the years, have said, what does AD stand for? What does it mean? Does it matter? No, it doesn't. It's just a name. Anyways, he started AD. We became a part of it. After AD was established, he decided, for whatever reason, he needed to step down, and he asked us to be in the role of leaders. Through prayer and consideration, we took on this leadership role. Now, we were the only ones there that had kids. So the AD community came to our house. Now, this is unique, and I will say that most of you guys will not experience this type of community, but we literally had an AD member in our house almost all the time. We had people from our community in our house every evening. We even had two of them stay with us, live with us. I know that's a little bit more extreme than what you guys probably have experienced, but what we really got from that was the community that we experienced. The fact that this was our extended home. These were the people that we called family. And still, to this day, we call family. While we had this community, we raised our children through this community. Our children were raised in this community. Our community raised our children. Our community was our village. It takes a village to raise a child. Our community was our village. Our community took care of us. Each one of them poured into them their own lives. They were examples of what Christianity looks like, in the good and in the bad. We celebrated good things happening with the members, and we also had times where we had to challenge those that were going sideways. Our girls went through all of it with us. They saw what believers looked like and what they acted like. They saw that we were not perfect and that we did not always make good choices, but God loves us no matter what. Over the years, they became our family. They became members of our lives. When it came time for us, when God called us to start a group with families, and he said, God said he wants you to make a new community with these family, with these parents, we were very excited to do it. We jumped at the chance. It took longer for this community to establish than it did for this AD community, obviously, because we weren't spending 24 hours with them. They all had their own families. But that family that we have, that new group that we have, which we never named, probably because of the whole AD thing, I don't know, but like we've never named this group. So if anybody wants to give us a name, go ahead. I don't know if I'll do it. The nachos. Oh yeah, nachos, that's a good one. We eat nachos like every other week. So anyways, this group also became our family, and they are another example of what it looks like to be Christians. And in turn, the awesome thing is that Rob and I now get to speak into the lives of their children. So if you were to ask me what aspects are most important when you're talking about spiritual parenting, I would have to say community. Community takes time to build. You have to be committed to be a part of it. What you put into it, how you participate, is what you get out of it. If you don't participate, you won't get anything out of it. The next thing is you need to expose them to service. You need to expose them to the life of the church. Help them to get to know what's happening. Help them to be active members of the community that they're a part of. Expose them to different activities and let them be a part of the community. Last, I would say, strive to be a good example. Kids watch. They see. They see everything that you do. They see that if your words match your actions and vice versa. When you stumble, when you fall, be honest. Share your heart. Hopefully the end of my story will turn out well. If it does, I will praise God. All I know is that I am going to continue to seek his guidance, continue to grow closer to him, and continue to share what I know and what I experience with my girls. Then I hope and pray that they will continue to seek him. That's it.
See, we've got a, I put a little PowerPoint together to help guide me through this. When I received Dale's message that he wanted me to come and share how I raised daughters who serve with a smile, my response was, sure, I can do that. And I, you know, it's not every day the pastor calls and asks for a favor. So I thought, okay, I can do this. But then after I said yes, the panic started to settle in. And I'm thinking, I'm calling Dawn and saying, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, how do I talk about, you know, what I've done right when I could probably do a better job telling you everything I've done wrong? I could probably do a whole sermon on all the mistakes that I've made as a mom. If you want to know about some of those mistakes, ask Brianna and Rachel about the time that I lost my patience with their constant fighting and I made them stay in a room all day and they had to figure out how they were going to get along as sisters. I did put a porta potty, bread and water in there for them so they didn't go hungry. Or how I handled my frustration when their room was constantly dirty. I made them spell hamper out loud several times, hoping that they'd understand that the clothes go in the hamper and not on the floor. Yes, many questionable parenting skills that I have, and I often wonder why God blessed me with two beautiful daughters and why he continues to keep them in my hands, because every day there's mistakes when we go through the different phases. I didn't read parenting books because I didn't. I just kind of went through life and learned from my parents and my friends. So back to the panic part, I figured, well, in the midst of my panic, I decided to go to the source. No, not Dale, but God. I figured if the Spirit had moved him to ask Dawn and I to come up and share our stories, that it would clearly move me to know what I needed to focus on today. So this is after my week of prayer and thinking and really searching my heart. This is what I came up with. I'm not here this morning to share what I've done right or what I've done wrong as a parent. Instead, I'm here to thank my Foothill community and my family for embracing the Castros when we arrived in 1999. The next slide. Arriving at Foothill, we had no expectations. I mean, we came from a church where you were told when to sit and stand and what to do and what you had to do to get where you needed to be. So we didn't come with expectations. I just wanted to know that this church loved the same God that I loved. So when we came, we were embraced by people like Miss Martha and Mr. Crichel, who became spiritual and loving teachers for my children. Families like the Crawfords gave up their weekends to take our children to summer camp. And as the children's pastor, Miss Crawford provided a consistent children's program, which included an opportunity to guide me as a parent on how to be a Sunday school teacher. We had a place for our children to grow spiritually and the opportunity to model what it was like to be a Sunday school teacher. Next slide. Many of the adults in the room today were the teens that mentored and played with our children. Melanie Reeves sat patiently while Rachel poked her in the nose and laughed and played with her. Megan Reeves was one of Brianna's youth leaders. She coordinated a girls' night out, giving little girls the opportunity to feel what it was like to be a big girl. Service in our family didn't only happen at church. we went on camping trips with our church families. I recall a trip with when Megan walked the kids to the beach and shared how APU had ancient sea squirrels on display. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't squirrels, that was scrolls. But Rachel heard squirrels. And she couldn't understand how long squirrels could live or why APU would put them on display. You can imagine the laughter between Megan and the kids as the confusion became clear on what was going on. Bree and Rachel have had many opportunities to play and laugh with our church families. They even had big brothers like Josh Barbro, James Burke, and John Santo who kept a close eye on them. Both girls find such joy babysitting for parents attending Marriage Builders. Why? Because Brooke Beckwith babysat them as Henry and I went to Marriage Builders, had opportunities to learn how to strengthen our marriage, and an evening with dinner, no kids hanging on you. The next slide. Our children gathered with other children and created their own community. We took trips together. Next slide. The children gathered around the cross every Easter. It was their thing. They were, and they waited for us to get there to take pictures of them by the cross. I have pictures of kids by that cross every year. We had tea parties and performed together. Next slide. Through our journey at Foothill, we fellowshiped with other moms. And the dads fellowship too, but for some reason, I don't have pictures of them in the desert. I'm not sure why, but they did fellowship. Next slide. Families served together, modeling for our children the act of service. Many weekends were dedicated to La Casa trips, building homes for families in Mexico. Many of us had full-time jobs, but after work, we'd pick up our kids and dinner and head to church to help prepare for the summer VBS. It wasn't uncommon to find 2, 3, 4 families here until 11 o'clock at night. Our kids were engaged with us. They would help build the backdrops, put packets together. And if we weren't done by bedtime, they'd fall asleep on the pews that you're sitting in. They were long nights, but we had some of the best VBS programs and many great memories putting those together. Today, Bree and Rach are young adults preparing for new journeys in their life. While they are older, they are still being served. Just this last week, Adrian, our youth leader, and Bree, one of the youth supporters, answered a call from Rachel because her confidence had been challenged. And she needed prayer to overcome her fears. And they prayed with her over the phone. Bree is exploring her love for teaching. And Chris, the new guy that she's been walking around with. I'm thankful for the mentoring she gets from adults in our church who are willing to share their perspective on dating, marriage, and life as a young adult. Not to mention their prayers for the relationship Bree and Chris are developing. The next slide. Our children enjoy service because they have grown in a church who has served them well. They have a church family. The next slide. Bree enjoys the opportunity to guide young ladies and provide them with sleepovers and discussions and outings that her youth leaders offered her as a young lady. Bree enjoys sharing her service opportunities with Chris, who is also embracing service at FCC. Rachel and Audrey enjoy working alongside their sisters, Sarah, Erica, Jenna, and Molly, teaching and caring for the children in the preschool and the nursery. More recently, Rachel joined my third place members and shared in serving in the community meal. She came home so excited that she had the opportunity to serve alongside her third place partners. Some members who embraced us when we started at Foothill are no longer here. When we lost some of our community, Henry and I wondered, should we search for something different too? Perhaps a church that has a different kind of sermon, a different kind of music program, a different kind of youth group, maybe a different kind of children's program. But when I asked my girls if they needed or wanted something different, they'd always respond with no. And then they'd say, this is our community, Mom. This is our church family. And life, and like many families, we may not be perfect, but we are a family. And we love the children at FCC, the mentors who walk alongside us, our friends who serve us, and our pastor who's given us the opportunity to bring some of our culture and our background and mix it in with what we've learned here at Foothill to create our journey. We can't imagine being somewhere else. The last slide. So today is not about what I've done to raise children well, but it's more, it's not about what we've done to raise children with a smile, who serve with a smile. It's about thanking my community and my church family who has served us well, who were willing to serve their gifts and their talents, share them with us, and who have walked alongside us to model service for our children and the friends that they have brought along with them. Don't know what the future holds for us, but for now, the Castro family is here to serve alongside the Davis family and every other family in our church community that gives endless hours of service with a smile. Thank you.